Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's a big one for you today. Kalena Azubuike is going to join us in studio at 9 o'clock, 3 hours from now. But before we get to any of that, could I please have a robust round of applause? Nice guy. And Anna, that was a terrific lead-in this morning.
Thank you.
I caught a minute of it, and I stuck around for another minute.
Oh,
and that's
great.
The key. Well,
that is good.
I'm
no,
prepping.
That's fantastic.
I got a million things going on, but I caught a minute. I enjoyed the minute. I stayed for another minute, and that's exactly the goal. So congratulations. Great job this morning.
That means a lot to me, Joe. It really does, honestly.
It was a good minute.
Thank
2 minutes, I should say. Nice guy. Congratulations to you as well. That does not mean walk around with your cup of coffee. Get in your seat. Get ready to start the day. 6 to 10 starts now. How's everybody doing?
It's doing great. Yeah, it's been a while. Good to see you, Joe. Glad to have you back. And I said it last Wednesday, and I told the group, I said, maybe somebody should slap me before I say it, but I miss Joe, for crying out loud. And I said it. Oddly, I meant it. And it's good to have you back.
How was the four-man Royal Rumble? How'd you fit all that meat in here?
Man, it was tough. I'll tell you what. Lowe was playing Peacemaker, which was something we'd never seen before. As Ray and Jim and I and Jim and Ray and me and Ray and me and Jim, we went at it. Lowe sat over there with his olive branch, and he kept the peace, didn't he, Lowe?
That's what the Lord would have done.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know me, Joe. I'm laid back. I'm cool. You know how it is. I'm just glad you're back, and I'm glad you got this whipping stick already out. Already got Steven, gave him a little attaboy, and then you kicked him right between the teeth. I loved it. Praised him, knocked him down. That's
so Joe. Many people are big on the compliment sandwich.
Yes.
You compliment someone, you knock them down, then you compliment them again.
Yes.
I'm all about the compliment, then knocking you down, and then as you wait for the second compliment, it doesn't come.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there with one piece of bread and one piece of meat. Make yourself a flatbread.
And flatbread.
Not time for a sandwich.
Or just fold it over, Joe. That's when we ran out of bread and at the Newell's house, because I got, you know, six of us, and we'd run out of bread. So it'd just be one piece left. And I look, and I wanted to make that sandwich, and all of a sudden, I said, put all the stuff in there, the ingredients, and I just folded over, and I made it like I was eating a hot dog, just with a piece of bread.
Like a bread taco.
You
we did the
know,
same
bread
thing.
Taco.
Hot dogs
a
and bread.
Bread taco.
You don't know about that, do you, Jody?
Yeah, fold that bread over. Come
no,
I've
never
piece
heard
of bread.
Of a bread taco.
You got to do it sometimes. You know, you make yourself that bologna and
oh,
cheese,
yeah.
And you got all the mayo and mustard on there, and you realize you only got one piece of bread? You got
to
fold it over, Coach.
Fold it over.
Yeah, hold that thing.
People helping people. That's what we're doing here on a Monday morning.
Always.
Mark Medina is going to join us at 7 o'clock. John Morosi on the latest regarding Bryce Harper at 8:30. But let's begin right here.
Durant catches, takes the top of the key. It's a three. He's open, fires, and ties it just like that with 42.7 to go. We're tied at 118. It's his first three of the night. What a shot.
120 to 118 is your final from Oracle Sunday evening as the Warriors defeat the Miami Heat for their 40th victory of the season. The Dubs now 40-15 on the year, 21-7 at Oracle. That was the 26th consecutive game in which your Golden State Warriors have scored 100 or more points. That's their longest streak of 100 or more points in a game since they rattled off 36 in a row during the 2016-2017 season. 14 victories over their last 15 games, and that was their 11th double-digit comeback of the season. They were down double digits against Phoenix, came back to beat them. Down double digits against Miami, came back to beat them. A good one last night, despite closing as 15, 16-point favorites, a good game at Oracle.
Yeah, the Heat brought their A game, and they played them tough, and they played the Warriors the way you have to defensively, and that is run them off the three-point line, make them settle for the mid-range. Kevin Durant's mid-range game was unbelievable. Steph Curry, again, with a slow first quarter. I think it's 1 for 14 over his last four first quarters, so that's something that you want to maybe change or look at. Maybe he's got to change his two-dribble routine or something, but he's been coming out cold. Clay had an efficient night, but the Heat, they hung around all night, and it took a little bit of controversy to go the Warriors' way to get the win.
Let's stick right there for just a moment. Curry, 1-for-14 in the first quarter over his last four games. Very small sample size. And there's only two games left, Tuesday against Utah, Wednesday at Portland before the All-Star break. So there's probably not a lot to worry about here. But is that a routine situation? Do you maybe consider changing the routine when you go through your warm-ups if you're starting slower than normal?
No, sometimes it happens, Joe, and sometimes you can get in a little, you're just not starting fast. And it's an interesting stat when you say that. There's an interesting stat that you pulled up, and it should have swayed me to do something last week and just bomb a particular part of the game that I didn't, and that's the under. When you talked about New England Patriots and you pulled up numbers and you said nine times this team been a Super Bowl and they owned the most they've scored was three.
They've only scored three. In these nine Super Bowls, they've scored three points in the first quarter.
And that's also the most they've scored is three.
That's it. That's it. Against Philadelphia.
Arguably the greatest team. Arguably the greatest coach. Arguably the greatest arguably. Not saying they are. But 3 points, and then you people are like, wow, what's going on? Are they a bad team? No, they're still great. Is Steph a bad three-point shooter? No, he's just in that little deal, you know, 14, 1-of-14. The biggest thing that I take away, Joe, is 15 out of 16. No matter what, how you paint the picture, no matter what's going on, the last 16 games, bud, they only lost one. That's the best record in the association. No team in the NBA, even though there's teams out there with a better record, you know, maybe Toronto or Anacapacabupa, whatever his name is. You think about what they've been able to do, it's unprecedented.
It's remarkable.
It is.
Yeah, and it's night after night, like you say, 15 out of 16, even.
They were down double digits by 18 yesterday.
And that's 24-2. There's a 24-2 run in the first quarter.
Those are games you're not supposed to win, but you show resolve and you go to Kevin Durant down the stretch, your ISO superstar, maybe the greatest ISO player we've ever seen in the association as we go around the association. He's unstoppable in that 15-to-20-foot range.
I got to do you a favor. You found a way to get the Patriots into the first segment. Shout out your Lakers getting boated by the 76ers yesterday in Philadelphia. That was a shame, the way that played out.
Wait a minute, Joe. I told you that the 76ers...
Sorry, Coach. The Laker minute's over. It was nice to get it in there. I was just trying to help you out.
I was talking about Philly.
No. I know. You got the Patriots in. We got the Lakers in. Oh, you're on Philly now that they got Tobias Harris in an all-star lineup of themselves? You're on Philly?
Before they even got him.
You're Mr. Lakers. You can't have all 30 teams. You pick the Lakers, you ride with the Lakers.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town.
I didn't even say it, but I don't even know the guy who they brought in. I'm just saying, come on, Coach.
Tobias Harris. He's the truth, kid.
I know from freaking Clippers, the Clip Show. I told you this team was good without him. Have I not?
It's just unfortunate to see LeBron go out there and find himself in a dicey situation start to finish there. You were really hoping, after what had happened in that Boston win.
They scored 40 in the first quarter, Joe. They played against a team that's just probably the best team in the East.
They were hanging
best team in the world.
Down five in the third quarter, and then the Lakers just closed up shop. It's like watching that one merchant at the flea market, the flea market's not over, but they fold up the
LeBron
tent early.
LeBron went to the bench. Since we got on there, LeBron sat down, and that's when the gates floodgates fell. They didn't
folded up the card tables and put away the merch. Let's pack it up.
76 is a good team.
Speaking of merch, which is as unique a way you can transition this as humanly possible, merch, the popular phrase for merchandise when you go to concerts. Now, it's not cool anymore. It used to be known as merch, and then you go to Outside Lands, and they call it the merch tent. So once the corporations take over the term, it's no longer fun. It becomes, you know, commonplace. But speaking of concerts, as we segue this in, there's a famous phrase in the fish community. It's never miss a Sunday show. Of all the fish shows you can go to, and Widespread Panic uses this, and I believe The Dead used it as well, so I'm not saying it's pigeonholed to one, but for the fish community, it's never miss a Sunday show. There are a variety of reasons for this, but they generally do two or three night runs, and if they come to your city for a three-night run, they'll play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You never miss the Sunday show. If you got an option, you make sure you go to the Sunday one because that's the special one. That's going to close the show. Something in there is going to surprise you one way or another. It's not to say the other shows aren't good. It's just to say that if you're going to see one, you go to the Sunday show. I was thinking about that heading into last night's game, because if you look at Steph Curry's splits this season, Sunday, and Barnett and Papa talked about this. Papa mentioned Barnett's comments during the pregame show on NBC Sports Bay Area. I started looking at Steph's splits. He's unbelievable on Sundays this year. The team, however, if you go through their Sunday games this season, this is when you want to watch them. They're 4-2 on the year, but the grand point differential in those six games, Warriors by one.
Wow.
Take those six games and add up the differential. The Warriors have outscored their six Sunday opponents, Denver, Brooklyn, the Spurs, the Clippers, the Mavericks, and now the Heat, by a grand total of 1 point. That game against Denver was decided by two. The game against Brooklyn by six. They lost by 12 at San Antonio. And then it was a 2-point win over the Clippers, a 5-point win over the Mavericks, and a 2-point win over the Heat. If you're going to watch the Warriors, pick Sunday as the day.
And if you're going to fade the Warriors, apparently pick Sunday as the day as well, because 4-2 straight up, I would imagine with most of those spreads, they probably were 2-4 or 1-5 against the number in those Sunday games.
Actually, fun fact, if you're going to fade the Warriors, fade them on Thursday. They're 1-6 on Thursdays this year.
There you go.
1-6 on Thursdays. But if you want to bet them, probably bet them Friday, 9-0. So there's something about Fridays. That's what I spent my morning doing,
awesome.
Going through every day of the splits. I don't know if we can stretch it to 4 hours, but we'll give it a try. More Warrior talk next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
What to make of the Bryce Harper rumors about he and the Giants that surfaced over the weekend, coming up in about 13 minutes here at 6:30. We will get to the bottom of that for all of you. But right now, your focus. Golden State 120, Miami 118. The Warriors now 40-15 on the season. Got off to a sluggish start in that one, but found a way late to close the show, in part due to the heroic efforts of one DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. Kevin Durant late in the game. Do we have the audio, boys? Kevin Durant missing late in the game. We don't have the audio of the missed shot followed by the rebound followed by the two free throws that won the game. Okay. It's a curveball.
Yeah, welcome back,
it's
Joe.
Curveball.
Yeah.
Welcome back. There's no place like home.
That's supposed to be buttoned up back then.
Interesting that one might not be available, but so be it. We'll work through it. Yesterday was the 10th game Boogie Cousins played for the Warriors since making his return from the Achilles injury suffered last January as a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. Here's where we're at. In 10 games, Boogie's averaging 14 points, 6.5 boards, 3.6 assists, 1.2 blocks in 22.9 minutes, shooting 45% from the field, which would, if it held throughout the course of the season, be his fourth best total in 9 professional seasons. 10 games in, how would you grade him?
Offensively, you give him a solid A-. He's been not near perfect, but he's been near everything you would expect him to be. On the defensive end is a different story, but focusing on just those numbers and how he looks offensively and what he does for this team, you saw it last night. He didn't necessarily need the ball in the last possession, but he worked. He got the offensive rebound. He would have had the putback, but he was fouled, and he hit both free throws. So those things, quantifiably, you see him show up, but to watch that play in real time, that was a huge moment for him.
Boogie Cousins last night knocks down both those free throws, seals the deal for the Warriors, although, what was it, Deion Waiters got a real good look at the end of the game to win that.
He did.
Real good look. But 10 games in, based on the numbers, 14 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, a block, 22 minutes a game, 45% from the field. What do you think 10 games in?
I'm in a different church, is Daniel this morning, Joe. I believe defensively he's shown better paralysis on defense than offense. I think that his offensive game is going to improve greatly. I think he doesn't move his feet as well down there in the box, in the block. Sometimes at double teams or at times he spins and he gets a little off balance because of the Achilles and he's kind of clumsy and awkward looking at times. I think defensively he's taken the hard fouls. He's gotten a bunch of charging calls. I think defensively he's played better. I think that's a stronger point. I think offensively this guy can go out and get you 20 and 10 a night, 20 points and 10 rebounds. I think offensively Boogie is going to continue to play better. So I'm in a different pew. I understand he's doing okay offensively, but I think offensively he's going to be more. I think that that's where you can see more, even more growth.
I think it's amazing that he's playing almost 23 minutes a night. We talked about this for months in the buildup. It's amazing to think how fast time has gone. because we spent months in the buildup. When's it going to happen? Would it be Christmas Day? All right, would it be against the Kings? Dibs, that was your prediction. Great prediction if that would have worked out. Ends up making the debut, and we start to dissect. Now we're already 10 games into this thing. He's playing 23 minutes a night. We thought he was going to be on that 15-minute clock. I figured for a while. I thought maybe they'd ramp it up come April. I didn't realize by the All-Star game the average would already be up to 23 minutes a night. I mean, he's got to be feeling good.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because they made him, quote, wait a month. Remember, he was ready a month earlier, he said, than when they actually let him get out there. So because he had that extra month to fully heal and train and get ready, maybe that's why they accelerated his minutes faster than any of us would have thought. I'm curious what you think, though, Joe, about my argument versus his argument. Where do you think he's playing better, offensively or defensively? Because I look at the defensive rating numbers, and I see they're not that great when he's on the floor, and I see him getting beaten by a lot of the big men on quickness, getting ragdolled a little bit by the stronger guys. I'm curious what you think.
Me to weigh in on the low
versus
Diz debate
here? I would love for you to weigh
here.
In because he made great cogent points, but I feel like my case is much stronger. It'd be nice for you to break the tie.
It would much depend. Stronger, or are you? I just think that there's some solid points by both.
I gave you credit. I thought your argument was meritorious and it was excellent. But I feel my case is. I feel like my case is much stronger.
I don't even know if that first one was a real word.
It's the Ratto hangover. Yeah, look it up. That one actually. I'll score that one for myself. That one actually.
Well, what did we know about Boogie coming into this season? In the past, we knew he could play offense, right? What was his reputation as a defender coming into the season?
Not as good.
Right. So now we're 10 games in. What have we seen on offense this year based on his reputation? What have we seen on defense based on his reputation? I think we've probably seen Boogie Cousins as Boogie Cousins, a scaled back version of Boogie Cousins. But offensively, isn't he playing similar to the Boogie we remember, except as a guy who looks a little rusty? Defensively, isn't he the Boogie we remember as a guy who also looks a little rusty? He's probably exactly the same, just scaled down to version for 10 games off an injury. So I know that really doesn't answer your question, but he's probably performing at exactly the level you would have expected pre-injury. Whether or not he's exceeding either expectation, I think for me, I wouldn't side with either of you. I think you both have interesting points. What? I think the exception to the rule is what he's doing with the minutes. That's where my focal point is. I didn't really go into this with a lot of expectation in terms of production. That was, I know that sounds strange, but no. Everyone got excited when he was signed. And I remember Damon being on air and just doing fantastic radio that day, losing his mind that Boogie was signed. And then we had so much time to dissect it and break it down and try to figure out what it all meant. And the reality was I never went into this thinking he was going to be 30 and 15. I never thought he'd be 20 and 20. I don't think anyone did.
Right.
I think you figured maybe if he gets healthy, he can help them win a championship. The fact that he's up to 23 minutes a night, that's what stands out to me. Because to be honest with you, he did this team a huge favor. He came here for less than $6 million. He's going to help them win a title, and then he's going to be gone. I'm just rooting for him personally to be able to go out there and get his payday. Because no matter how you feel about this dude, no matter what you think of his time in Sacramento or in New Orleans, he has done this franchise a massive favor, right? He could have probably taken less. Yeah. If the word was out that he was willing to play for less than $6 million, you probably have offers coming from all 30 teams. He was willing to come here, rehab the image, take his time. He's going to play an integral role in delivering yet another title, 4 and 5 for this city, and then he's going to leave. And he'll end up being in history a small footnote during this entire run. You'll remember Steph more than anything else, the Durant era, 73 wins, all that. Boogie will be one of those things 20, 25 years from now when you talk to your kids. Oh, I forgot about that year when Boogie Cousins was there. I forgot what Boogie did in Game 3 of the series against Denver, right? And I think the fact that he's up to 23 minutes, I'm just rooting for him to be healthy, get better, and go out and get his payday. So if he's playing well on offense, I think, Dibs, you're making excellent points. He's exceeded those expectations. Defensively, looks rusty, but in the past, we've seen that from him before as well. I think he's playing right to his standard, and hopefully it ends up getting him a payday.
I think even when...
I dance around your question for
it was unlike you.
There.
Welcome back, though. You're a little rusty yourself. You know, by Wednesday, you'll be braced for sharp again.
I didn't want to have to pick between the two of you this early and immediately start a war, because I knew that that's where that was going to be
It's
going.
Inevitable.
It was a nice job on your behalf to try to fan that fire.
It's Gaza Strip Radio. You got to pick sides. Too soon?
Too soon.
Sorry, Coach.
Gaza Strip Radio.
Wow.
We're always on edge. You're one statement away from something igniting on this program. You know that. And normally you are a set ignition. But anyway, Lo, you were saying.
He's in my ignition.
Oh, my God.
I can't use that right now.
No more R. Kelly.
No. It's interesting because I think that there's perspective that we have to look at on both sides to your point, my point, and you look at even when Embiid had a hell of a game when he played against the Warriors, when Boogie was in there, Boogie defended him well. Boogie at times stayed in front of him, hit the ball, swatted it at his hand defensively. When Boogie went out on defense, if you look at the war and you look at what happened when Boogie went out and you looked at Looney come in, Looney couldn't handle him. He would push Looney around, get him underneath the board. Looney was getting fouled because getting out rebound. Everything was – when Boogie was in there, that wasn't so. Boogie played – I thought he played against him. It was Nick for tack. Both those two guys went at it, and you saw that. So I think Boogie held up pretty well against a dominant center. I think arguably, I'd say, the best in the league.
And
right
that's
now.
A tough cover for anybody it, because it really he's so is. Big, just, so quick.
Absolutely.
And like you say, he likes to get you out in that deep water.
Deep water. Pump break guys, and then he pump fake, and then he gone. And you see him run by guys of the Lakers yesterday. But Cousins played him well. I think the biggest thing that you have to look at when you look at what they've been able to do, I think Boogie Cousins, they had to have him to win a title this year.
One concern to keep an eye on moving forward, and it's not just Boogie, is the fact that this team over the last two games has been out-rebounded on the offensive glass 40-16. Phoenix and the Heat have out-rebounded them by 24 on the offensive glass. Keep that in mind because Miami got up more than 20 shots over the Warriors, and Phoenix did the same thing. More than 20 shots they took over the Warriors, which to combat that is remarkable. Now, we've got to get to the bottom of this Bryce Harper thing because it surfaced over the weekend and it's got everyone fired up.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
So the West Coast gets pounded with weather over the last few days.
Pounded.
I'm stranded
still
in
coming.
Oregon Saturday morning. Oregon gets this snowstorm. Now, by Oregon standards, Portland standards, it's like 3 inches. So that's nothing to anyone who grew up in snow. But when you don't have snow removal equipment and you don't know how to handle snow, it becomes a massive issue. So I come out of the hotel real early in the morning to head to the airport in Portland, 3 inches on the ground. I get a rideshare. I'm not going to name. God bless this girl. She shows up and she has no idea how to drive in the snow. I mean, I'm in the back with the seatbelt on, holding on for my life because you're going slow.
Yeah.
But you hit the brakes and immediately it skids out. The snow has not been removed. It's just been matted down. Now, I only needed to go about 2 miles to get to the airport. And very quickly, I was like, I will walk through this. I will walk through this if I need to. But God bless her. She got me there. And I even told her as I got out, thank you so much. Be very careful today. You clearly have no idea what you're doing in the snow. Do not take any more risk. That part I didn't add.
P.S. Here's a 1 star on your way out. Learn to drive, Rebecca.
I gave her a 5. She got me there. I had to give her the 5 because she got me there.
Were you that uncomfortable that you couldn't even make a phone call? Were you on the phone any of that time?
I was not on the phone at all.
Wow.
I was not on the phone. I got in. And as soon as it started, you immediately knew. Like, growing up in snow, you immediately know someone who can't handle it.
Yeah.
And I immediately put the seatbelt on and was like, oh, my God. And we go to the highway, and the on-ramp is immediately blocked because someone who couldn't drive had crashed in the guardrail. It was a minor bump because you're not going very fast.
Right.
But now a giant tractor trailer is stuck behind that person. So she decides, I'm just going around this. Very aggressive driver. Russian, I believe. So, you know, no real surprise there. But just got around it, skidded down the ramp, got onto the highway, made it happen, got to the airport. Point being, I end up stranded in this airport for like 6 hours before I can get out. No big deal. I don't mind airports. But you can keep up on what's going on. Saturday happened to be FanFest. You were down at AT&T Park. I can't wait to hear about the atmosphere. But the story that kept bubbling up over social as I'm checking it while sitting in the airport is about Bryce Harper to the Giants. Bryce Harper to the Giants. I got this rumor. I'm hearing this tip. This is out there. Maybe Bryce Harper to the Giants. Maybe it won't take a long-term deal. Maybe Bryce Harper would be willing to come in for 2 or 3 years at a very high price and then re-enter the market since he's not getting what he's offered. Let's go to Buster Olney, one of the best in the business. He was on Golic and Wingo this morning talking about Harper, the Giants, and what it may take to get it done.
Last week, the San Francisco Giants got involved. Bryce met with them. The Giants were impressed by them, by him. The question is whether or not the Giants are willing to give out one of these mega 10-year contracts. Farhan Zaidi, who just took over baseball ops for the Giants, he was with the Dodgers last year when the Dodgers effectively passed on Giancarlo Stanton because they didn't like the 10-year deal. That's what a lot of teams are afraid of these days. So the question is, will the Giants generate an offer that's going to compete with the Phillies offer?
All right, first question out of the chute. So the Giants go down to Vegas last week. They meet with Harper. Bochy's part of it, all that stuff. How much of this is legit? How much of this is the Giants actually trying to get in on Harper, and how much of it is, look, we'll spend a few thousand bucks to go down to Vegas to meet with him, and then we'll make sure the story gets out so that the fan base believes we're going for it and we can try to convince people we're trying to win this season?
I think it's legit to the extent that they clearly have the parameters of a deal that would work for them, and it's not 10 years and $300 million. It's probably 3 years and $100 million, let's say, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's going to be a 2 or 3 year deal. Not any longer. So they basically, in my opinion, met with Bryce over 4 hours, got a sense for where he was, and said, look, if you decide that the long-term deal that you're being offered, whatever it is, if the money's not right or if the fit's not right, we're here for you in the short term. We're not necessarily looking for the 10-year commitment. We're looking for a landing spot for you for two, for maybe three. By then, baseball hopefully will sort out whatever this is, if it's collusion or if it's a shrinking of the market, whatever's going on over the course of last year and this year, that eventually will get eradicated. So come here short term and know that in 3 years, he won't yet be 30. He'll be 29, I think. Then you can go out and again seek out that big long deal.
What's a short term deal look like? If we're talking 3 years, what do you have to offer him to get him interested? If it's 3 years, $105 million, that's $35 million per year. Is that something that you offer? Is that something that he might say yes to? I'm trying to figure out, because all this time I was led to believe 10 years, $400 million, and then it slowly but surely started shrinking.
I think,
if you're going to go short term, I don't even know what to make of this.
I don't think it's going to be $35 million. I really believe that they're willing to say, look, we're willing to date you. We can go on a date, but we're probably not going to bump uglies. You're not going to get you tied up for 10 years.
Boom.
We're not doing a 10-year deal. We'll do a 3-year deal. We're going to date. We'll date, but don't think you're going to get to it.
Then why is he going to want to go on the date?
Because there's nothing up. There's nothing there. Ask Mr. Dibbs. You know,
he's just hungry and he wants dinner?
You know? So you get
maybe a peck on the cheek.
Exactly. You get a little kiss, bust a little slob.
He's just desperate for a conversation.
You're not getting it all. You're not getting the $300 million that he's been out. He's not getting married. They're not going to marry him. They're just saying, hey, look, we'll date. I'll let you, we can mess around, roll around a little bit, but not happening. And they're not going to do it. So I look at this deal and you look at it and I think the parameters are being set. I think the Giants went there and met him and said, okay, we understand what you're looking for. Right now the market could be dried up, but here, we'll date you. You can come on over. We'll give you a little something.
So what do you think something like that looks like, though? I find that interesting. Maybe the Giants are trying to slide in and take advantage of a situation. Harper's looking for 10 at 300. Let's say that's the number. You get all that
money
guaranteed.
It's quarterback money.
And then it turns out no one's out there. Maybe it's 6 years that's being offered at a price that's not meeting his standard. So maybe the Giants are trying to take advantage of a loophole. Maybe the Giants are like, look, come here for 2 years, $50 million. We'll give you 25 per. Maybe it's 2 years, $60 million. We'll pay it. You'll get paid. You can re-enter the market at the age of 28 with an extra $60 million, yep, $70 million in your pocket. We'll go from there. Maybe they're trying to take advantage of that, but what's that number? I'm trying to figure out what would even get him interested. He's probably getting close to $30 million a year on a longer-term deal anyway. So for you to get him to engage and to take less years, which means less overall money because it's all fully guaranteed, what do you have to offer? Like, if it's 2 years, do you have to offer 80?
2 years,
I think it's 3 and 100 myself.
2 years, 54. What'd you come up with that?
Quarterback numbers.
That's not enough.
This ain't quarterback prices, though.
Coach, the market last year, you had guys. Think about the guy last year.
J.D. Martinez.
That ended up getting, he thought he was going to get
$300
million.
Look at you two mind-melding.
It's all week, he and I going back and forth.
Wow. We knew he was going for J.D. Martinez?
We became brothers again, Joe, while you were gone. No one was around to drive us apart anymore.
Right? Quick, think back to last year, the guy, and you immediately, J.D.
Exactly,
Martinez.
Because he was the big one, bigger on the market, and we talked about it a little bit last week when you're out, and he only got 100 and something mil. It just goes to show you. So when I throw that number out there, $27 million a year for about $54 million for 2 years. If he does a 2 year deal, it's not going to be much more than that. No way.
I think people are probably already willing to offer him 27 times.
There's
going
to be a lockout. They're talking about they're talking about them.
That's still a few years down the road.
But that's why they're not going to over these. It's not happening.
See, that's why, think it's going to be.
So was this part of you being down at the park this weekend? You coming across all this info? Tell us what it was like.
No.
You were on the scene.
How was
Fan Fest?
You got sources,
Daniel. I mean, we were doing well last week. Hell,
you're still doing well. You're doing great.
No. I didn't hear any of those things. You listen to the guys there. The weather was horrible, Joe. Absolutely ferocious. And so Boach and the guys were out there, the skipper, and they were talking about, different situations. And they had actually mentioned about Harper, and he talked about it. But I didn't hear anything that would make me believe that this is a long-term 7-5 year deal. It's not going to happen. So being in the ballpark, watching the fans come out in the weather, there was like a darn near monsoon on and off. But there was a great deal of fans out there. Got to interact. A lot of people love the show, believe it or not. A lot of people love the show. Talked about
yeah, I do believe it. We have billions of listeners.
Billions.
You're not breaking news to me right now.
I was shocked.
Hey, guys, guess what? People like the show. I've seen the ratings. I'm aware.
Yeah, but you know what? The biggest thing is because of the fact the Giants aren't necessarily our property. You look at it, and there's still a lot of Giant fans that are listening to the morning show, like, low, taking
great
pictures,
radio,
doing stuff.
We're the
like,
keep it real station when it comes to baseball in the market.
They loved it. So that's what I was shocked about, really, Joe. Really
Here's what I'm shocked about. Were you actually there, or is this another lie?
Joe.
Is that not a fair question?
We did get a question from the 408. Did Lorenzo really go to FanFest, or did he watch it on social media? What were the intros like? Was there a buzz?
Thanks, Todd, bro.
Good questions.
Is it a good
Really good questions. We'll have to get to the bottom of it. Sorry, unfortunately, we are out of time.
It's
Mark
shame.
Medina at 7 o'clock. More on this, plus the AAF. Did you watch it this weekend? Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
As always, we would love to hear from you on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If you've got a take of particular heat that you would care to share with your boys Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Medina in 10 minutes to talk Warriors and this Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, Steph Curry jersey swap. Do you think that caused issues behind the scenes? We'll dissect. That's coming up. We've also got John Morosi at 8:30 to talk about the latest with Bryce Harper and the Giants, and Kalen Azubuike in studio at 9 o'clock. But before we jump back into the Harper conversation, the AAF debuted this weekend. And if you were on social and you're linked up with a lot of people who are football fans or football analysts or football commentators of any sort, it created some buzz. And people are wondering whether or not this will be a competitive league, whether or not this is something that can stick around, maybe perhaps even rival the NFL one day. I'll start with this. Can anyone tell me what the AAF stands for?
American Association of Football, he guessed?
Incorrect. And you should go ahead and buzz yourself, too, for the incorrect answer.
No.
Honestly, does anyone here know what it stands for?
American Alliance of Football.
I believe that is also incorrect. It would help if I had it in front of me. You know what it stands for.
It's your league, after all.
No. I thought Anna had it. That's what I think Anna had it. Right,
Anna? Just piggybacking off her incorrect take?
I said it backwards. I apologize.
No, not backwards. You said it incorrectly.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I can play the buzzer until 10 if you want.
Football.
Yeah, now that someone's in your ear and they told you, congratulations. You got it right.
True friend. No one's in my ear. True friend. Ask them.
I mean, if I got to go third, I probably would have got it right, too.
Also, can we give you credit when you sided with her and you were wrong and then you threw a second guess out there and what we're supposed to
no, because
take the ding back.
Stop it.
That feels
stop
better
it,
anyway.
Joe, stop it. You want me to explain what happened?
Do we need to go to the tape where you said, I think Anna had it right?
That's why I said I think Anna had it right because what she said was right. But she mixed the words up and I said, okay, then it's Alliance of American Football. That's all. So I wasn't, and no, Steven didn't get near the Cody. No one got in my ear, Joe. Why you always give me side eye right now?
You're the guy who told me you went to the Warrior game and then you didn't go.
True.
So moving forward, every single time you say something that I don't believe, it's going to be raised in question. I'm watching this Ted Bundy thing on Netflix right now.
Now you're going to
guess what?
To
I don't
Ted
believe
Bundy.
Ted Bundy when he tells me things either.
No.
Turns out he may have been a bit dishonest.
Well, you know what?
Just
now you're totally.
Yeah, I'm only two episodes in, so I'm really not sure how it all plays out.
Pretty
sure Bundy was a bit of a dishonest guy.
And you're totally out of line for that right here. But to say Ted Bundy and use that reference to me, right?
To say Lorenzo Neal and Ted Bundy in the same sentence.
That is bad, man. For you to go that far.
Both Americans.
Yo, that's
both have lied in their life a time or two.
Might as well throw
in a little. You say Dibby? Dibby's more like a Ted Bundy. He's white. I end up like, no, it's not very lot of, it's not a lot of black serial killers out there. You go look at the history. There hasn't been a lot. That's why that guy in D.C.
I believe we've had, it feels like deja vu. I think we've had this conversation before.
Now, Dibs
the sniper in D.C.
That's why they could never catch that sucker, because you never thought it was a black guy. See, that's the thing.
Huh. This took an interesting turn.
No, because
it's on me.
Because he tried to compare me to Ted Bundy when you, Mr. Dan Dibley, can be crazy.
I'm just saying I've come across a bit of dishonesty over the last few weeks. The Ted Bundy thing on Netflix
that is
and
true.
You. So that's kind of how it's linked.
And I am crazy, but I'm an open book. I'm honest with my predilections and my shortcomings. Okay,
you remind me more of BTK.
Is he also a serial killer?
Mind torture kill.
Oh, yeah. Not bad. I'm good with knots, too.
If you watch Mindhunter, you're good with knots. Okay. Let's.
Please.
Yes. We were starting with the Alliance of American Football. See, this will never catch on. The first conversation about Alliance of American Football immediately got to Ted Bundy. And that's not good for the AAF.
Joe, you are a very intelligent guy.
Is Bundy, they said.
So, but when I make a statement that you can feel energy, am I lying when I'm telling you that you could feel something, even if you're not there and you could feel it? Like, you don't have to go to heaven to feel
this. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Not be honest. If I'm wrong, just tell me.
I'm not even sure what the question is.
Because, like, haven't you watched something and you felt good watching something and you feel it? Or am I, you haven't, can't, I mean.
Yeah, but this is that Barry Bonds thing where you missed his home run at Petco and then went in and you said you felt it. We've established that. I'm trying to get to this AAF thing. This is actually something that was in your email.
Yes, it was.
Your email about things you wanted to talk about involved the AAF. Now, did you watch some of it this weekend?
I did watch a smidge bit. Not much at all. And I watched some highlights. So, but I was like, me and Daniel was talking about it last week. He said maybe he wasn't going to even drive by it at all.
It's trash.
And that's what some of the statements that Dan was making about the AAF. I was on the other side to say, I think football is king. I think when you look at football and what it's been able to do and how so many guys have to be in unison in order for a product to work, I think that's going to be watched. I think that they hit the right sweet spot because it's after the NFL, it's after college football, it's after and there's no football out there. I think it's going to have some success.
All right, four games this weekend. The game that took place Saturday night between San Antonio and San Diego. That was on CBS. That was kind of the marquee welcome to the AAF. Take a look at this game. There was a big hit in that game. I'd give you the names of the players, but I don't know them, and I didn't care to look them up, to be honest with you. But I did check some of these games out just to pop in
because
it was making some noise on social media. It drew a rating of 2.1. At the same time, the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder were playing each other to a rating of 2.0. So initially on Sunday, there was this big talk about how the AAF had outrated the NBA. Now, ESPN came out later and said, it was actually a tie. We both did a 2.1. But that can't be great news for the NBA, can it?
I don't think that's
a marquee game between former MVPs.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily the marquee spot. That's the Saturday afternoon or the Saturday night game. The Sunday spot is always more of the featured one for the NBA. So I don't think that they're that fixated. Plus, it's the first time. Now, if the AAF comes out again this Saturday and the big game is going to be Arizona at Memphis, these two teams just don't like each other. When that game hits the field at 5:00, then if that goes out and has a similar kind of rating, or if the rating goes up, then the NBA has to worry. But for week one of a football league debuting, and we're still close enough to the Super Bowl where there's a little bit of a football hangover effect, by the time we get into week six, week seven of this, you get into late March, people are going to tune this thing out like they tune out all these second-rate leagues.
This is why you shouldn't be so quick to jump on that fence, Daniel. You got to be pumped.
I'm not jumping on the fence. I'm making a definitive statement about the waning popularity of this fledgling minor league.
I think there's nothing fence about this at all. I think that Trent Richardson is a guy that in college people loved, and he had a huge following.
6 years ago.
Right, and you still have those people that love that university. And I still think you have people out there that are going to watch these players. These guys, you got to realize that are complaining. Don't give me the bad look. I hate when you start frowning your face. It's easier to smile than frown.
I'm just pre-frowning to the rest of this.
It takes only one smile or one muscle to smile, where it takes hundreds, to frown.
You ought to see his face.
Never really looked that up, though.
Yeah, no.
I'm flexing the frown right now because this is another one of your classic dumpster takes.
He looks bewildered.
He looks
more than frowning.
Yes.
He looks kind of like.
You ever have to clean out a dumpster? Because I have, and it smells a lot like this take that's coming up. So please continue.
When were you cleaning out dumpsters?
Sometimes when you're working in like a grocery store or another like food related thing, you can't let the dumpster just be totally nasty. Now, you don't have to get in there with a scrub brush, but you got to scrape off some
of it. Hose it down a little
bit. Yeah, clean it up a little bit. That's what this take smells like. That's why I'm frowning. Please continue.
Joe, you're laughing now, Joe, but you're going to come back to my side, and so are you, Anna, and you guys are going to listen to me, and you guys are going to realize I'm very astute about this. My daughter has over 4,000 followers, 15 years old.
On what platform? What
Instagram.
Nice. Look at that.
And there's kids out there that have hundreds and thousands of followers. That's 13, 10, 11, that have thousands of followers. There's a lot of adults out there that have thousands of followers. They don't even do – it's just like you look at and you're like, wow. When all these other things failed, Joe, we talked about it. Social networking, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff wasn't out there. What is every college kid doing? What is every high school, grade school kid doing? Twitter, Instagram, it's out there. They have, and you know what these, you know what this league, why I think it's going to have some merit, Daniel, is because every coach, every organization, those guys are saying, you guys better protect this brand, tweet, you got followings, try to grab these guys. They got a built-in audience that people know. These aren't just scrubs that were in college. These are starting kids, starting quarterbacks, starting running backs that are in college that are coming to this new league. And you sprinkle in some ex-NFL players. I'm telling you, with the way social networking is now, it's different when the USFL was around a long time ago.
So you think so? Nice uptick. So yeah. You think social networking could be what pushes a secondary professional football league over the top? What could actually make it successful now versus in the past?
Yes.
The problem with that argument is, and I'll just draw one parallel, and you can just chew on it. Mark Medina joins us in just mere seconds.
Did you find that to be a dumpster take, though? I found it at least interesting.
It was.
You don't
more...
have to agree, but I don't know if it's a dumpster take.
No, it was not definitely a garbage can take, though, because USFL.
But a new garbage can.
No, not a new one. USFL, Steve Young, AAF, Christian Hackenberg. And I will rest my case with that.
Hit the text line.
There was no social media back then.
It's not the point of the social media. It's about the caliber of football. That's what he said. All these college guys. Christian Hackenberg is one of your best-known players, coach.
What I'll do is the USFL had
Steve Young.
Okay. Interesting.
We're talking about the caliber of football,
you know,
not social media.
Okay, we'll bring it back. Garbage. I don't know if that was a dumpster take. Now, he's got a lot of dumpster takes, I'll be honest.
The very least, it's recycled
landfill
bin.
Takes. But
yeah, it's trash.
I don't know if it was that bad. I think it's an interesting point. When they've tried this in the past, there hasn't been social.
Maybe he used social media, and then he talked about the caliber of football. That's apples and rotten oranges is what that is.
All right, we'll come back to it. We will come back to it.
I don't think it was okay.
You Ray. Are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. John Morosi will join us this morning to talk all things Bryce Harper and San Francisco Giants related. That's at 8:30. Kalena Azubuike in studio with us from 9 o'clock until the end of the show. But for right now, we turn to the phones. He covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News. 95.7 The Game contributor Mark Medina with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, good morning, and as always, thank you for your time. I want to start with this. About 7 seconds remaining, Warriors Heat last night at Oracle. Was that a double dribble that the refs may have missed on behalf of Kevin Durant?
I don't think you make that call at the end of the game. I don't think it was a double dribble. I think he was fine. I know the Heat were certainly upset about it so much that Eric Spoelstra opened his press conference saying, hey, NBA, please don't fine me, but he missed this call. But from my vantage point, I thought it was fine.
It was a double dribble, but in all fairness, Mark, I mean, in all fairness, it was a double dribble, but if we're going to call that, then we should start calling traveling, and then all of a sudden each team's going to average 30 turnovers a game, aren't they?
Well, and how about this? If you're going to call that, you should also not call against Steph Curry doing James Harden moves and not let him get away with it, but let James Harden get away with it, right?
Yeah, and you get the guys going for the dunk, and it's a three-step approach like a plane taking off at JFK. So we
But that was a bad flop yesterday when Steph did that slight push-off. I've seen James Harden did so many of those, and they don't say anything to him.
Without a doubt, it's an inexact science, and if we parse everything in super slow-mo, we can see a lot of different missed calls. To me, the takeaway from that game shouldn't be so much the non-call and the double dribble, but KD's lethal effectiveness inside the arc. Is he ultimately the difference maker for any offense, his ability to score from inside 20?
Well, I mean, I would say he's a difference maker. So is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. When you're looking at yesterday's game, they did not play well. They didn't have the same kind of energy that they've had usually earlier since DeMarcus Cousins has come back. But you know, they can kind of absorb that because those are pretty good shooters, and they all kind of share different times of when.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.